You're listening to The Dirt on the Past, a show on history and archaeology and why it matters today. You can find us on the Extreme History Project website and also on kgbm.org. Thanks for listening. Welcome to The Dirt on the Past from the Extreme History Project and KGBM Community Radio.
Whether digging up a site or dusting off the archives, we bring you some of the most fascinating and cutting-edge research in history and archaeology, and discuss why it matters today. Join me, Nancy Mahoney, alongside co-host Crystal Alegria, as we converse with anthropologists, archaeologists,
and historians about how they bring the past alive.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Dirt on the Past. I'm Nancy.
And I'm Crystal.
And we're the co-hosts of this show. This week, we are changing it up a bit, aren't we, Crystal?
We sure are.
We are coming to you from outside of my shop, Mocha Boutique, in downtown Bozeman. And we're doing this because we're talking about historic preservation right here in our town, and we're going to be talking about the building that my boutique is located in, which you've done some research on, right?
I have. I recently wrote a little article for a local magazine about the history of the Bon Ton Building, which is its official name.
So yeah, and it's Bozeman Life Magazine. We want to shout out to them because they do a wonderful job. We put some ads in there. They get out to the local community. And so we're so glad they're also going to be highlighting my boutique and the jewelry store down from us, Alara. And we're actually going to be talking to Babs Noel, the owner there, as well. But before we get to that, we're so excited because we have sponsors.
Two sponsors, our first two sponsors ever. One thing that I wanted to mention, Nancy, is that we've been doing this podcast, The Dirt on the Past, for a year now. So we had our year anniversary September. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. I think a celebration might be in order.
I know, we should have champagne. Where's our champagne?
I know. Well, I have wine in my wine tub. Okay, so we'll decide. Maybe champagne.
We'll tap into that.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say yay to everyone who's listened over the past year. We're so excited.
Yes.
So a year in, we decided that we needed to have some sponsors of this podcast.
Right.
So we started reaching out and we got our first two sponsors, Steep Mountain Tea.
Oh, they're wonderful.
We'll tell you all about them here in a little bit. Yep. And then also the Western Heritage Center.
Yay.
So those are our first two
both Montana
sponsors. Yay. So we're excited to have them. And we'll tell you more about them.
All right.
As we go through the podcast.
Yes,
today.
We're excited to talk to them about that. Yeah. So now what I want to do is we're out here on the street, as you can probably hear, out in front of the boutique with Steve carrying all the recording devices.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and walk right in the boutique.
Okay.
And start doing our podcast from in here.
Here we go, into this beautiful historic building.
And you can hear the sound of the door creaking.
Yeah.
And when we walk in, we can see the beautiful original tin roof and the original maple hardwood floors. And
the brick walls,
which
beautiful brick walls.
They're beautiful, but you cannot nail anything into them. they're made of the poor quality bricks that just crumble. These aren't the ones that go on the outside of buildings.
Right.
But anyway, we're going to sort of walk through to the back and find a place where we can sit and talk. And as we're doing that, Crystal, you mentioned that this building is called the Bon Ton Building.
Right.
So that's quite a name. Can you tell us how we got that name? What does that mean?
Yeah. So the Bon Ton kind of just means high fashion. That's what it means.
That's Bon Ton. Sort of appropriate.
I know it is, especially for your shop, Nancy. But Bon Ton was a popular term in the Victorian age. And that's why this building got that name, is because in 1914, a baker, whose name was Eugene Graff, opened a bakery in one bay of this building. So this building has four bays to it. And he opened his bakery, which he named the Bon Ton Bakery.
And that's the beautiful tiling mosaic we see on the side of the building, right? On the corner, it says Bon Ton Bakery. And I think people still think there's a bakery if they're not from Bozeman.
Right.
But you're saying then that Bon Ton, that's just a general
term. Yeah, it's kind of a general term. And he used that. It was a really fashionable term about that time, and so he used that as the name of his bakery. So you open this bakery in this building. He had the bakery ovens in the building. He baked the bread here. And he and his family lived upstairs. Eugene Graf was from Germany. He was from the Munich area.
Oh, wow.
And he came to the United States with his family in 1907 and then settled here in Bozeman in about 1914.
All the way from Germany.
All the way.
Out here to Montana. I wonder what led him on that path.
I wonder, too. And I didn't dive in far enough to answer that question for you. But, you know, a lot of people were still coming to Montana during that time from other countries, from other places. Of course, we still today have people coming from all
right,
over the world.
But it was still such a young territory in the early 1910s and 20s, right? We didn't have much of a population out here.
No, no. Yeah. So there was still a lot of people coming from different places. And so it wasn't unusual that someone from Germany would come and settle in Bozeman, Montana at that time or in Montana.
Right.
So you always kind of think of everybody coming here in the early days during the Gold Rush time frame. But, you know, people kept coming.
Right. And, you know, they had to land somewhere else originally, you know, so did he make the trek across the country?
He
from
did.
Europe? It's just so interesting to imagine then how this becomes, because then he really invested in the building.
Yeah.
We'll hear a little bit more about that in a minute. But what Eugene Graf found when he got here was there was a building already here. So he named it, and the name comes from his association with the building and the bakery. But the building was already here. So I wonder if you can tell us who first built it, when they first built it, and sort of what was in it at the very beginning.
Well, this building was built in 1890. And so just to back up a little bit, the town of Bozeman was founded in 1864.
Okay.
And it wasn't founded as a gold rush town, but it was founded because of the gold rush. So that gold rush happened here in Montana in 1862, 63, 64, that time frame. Gold was being found in Bannock, what is now called Helena, Virginia City, those places.
Yeah, not Bozeman, not the Gallatin Valley, but places a couple hours away.
Right, right. And so people were rushing to those places for gold. And so three men decided that they would make some money from that situation, and they would found the town of Bozeman. So John Bozeman, Daniel Rouse, and William Beale, these three entrepreneurs, founded Bozeman as a place for people to get supplies and stock up as they were headed to the gold fields. So that's why Bozeman was founded in 1864. And then fast forward to the 1890s, Bozeman by then was really an established town. It wasn't a fly-by-night place. It wasn't going to, you know, become a ghost town like many other Montana towns. It was really stable, and we had the railroad coming, which really what people were able to get goods in and goods out with the railroad. So this was a stable town. And these three men built this building. Their names were, they were part of a firm that was called Sabree, Ferris, and White. And the names of the men were Howard Sabree, Edward Ferris, and Benjamin White. And these men were in the railroad business, really.
So they knew what was going on with where railroads were going, how you could probably invest in property, do something that would get a huge return on your investment. This was kind of what they were doing in other places, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say also, I guess, with Bozeman, you know, you had already had Fort Ellis come and go, but you had Yellowstone.
Yeah.
You had this incredible Gallatin Valley agricultural produce and possibilities for growing. So it was a stable place for so many reasons. And then you add that railroad in visitation. I can imagine it seemed like a pretty good place to invest.
It was a good place to invest. And that's what those three men did. They built this building as an agricultural supply store, basically. And so but they also built it as a business investment.
Okay.
So they rented out, so this building, like I said, has four bays or four storefronts. And so they were in one bay, but then the others were filled with other businesses, other entities. So it was really a business investment. And only one of those three men actually lived in Bozeman. The other two lived in other parts of Montana. So they were businessmen. And
it was a two-story building originally.
Yeah.
Built of brick.
Yep.
And the upstairs was always residential, because it's residential now.
Yeah, it's always been residential up above. The second floor has always been residential. There's apartments up there. And today, There's still apartments up there. People still live upstairs.
My kids, lots of people would still love to be able to get right up there, right on Main Street. It's a great location.
Right.
Okay, so Crystal, we've moved from the dressing room area out to the annex area. That's what we call it here at Mocha. It's literally, I think, a unit tacked on to what was the exterior of the back part of the Bon Ton building, at least this section of it. And there's what looks like an exterior window just behind you and some exterior facade over to the side of another addition. But it's a little quieter back here.
Yeah. I love it back here. You know, I always love going in basements of buildings, back rooms of buildings, because that's where you see all the architectural detail that is sometimes often covered up in the front part of a building.
True. So, you can see the layers and modifications.
You can see the layers. You can see the history.
You've been in our basement too.
Well, that was the first thing I went into when you bought this.
I know. I think you probably were in it before too. And I'm always like, this might be the second trip for you. But yeah, it has definitely got those creaky old staircases. And it looks like there's a ramp where you used to be able to drive, you know, a cart or something with wheels or whatever, right down into the basement. There's a ramp down there, a dirt ramp, and that's the scary part that we don't go into. And then we use the other part. Ours hasn't been remodeled down there, so it got a lot of original stuff. So thinking about that, I wanted to have you place us in this building. So it was built in 1890. 1890. And so when it got going, was that the center of town? Because we kind of think of Wilson and Main, that main streetlight, the Baxter Hotel, which is diagonally across, as being sort of the center of downtown and kind of the hub and the main arteries running through the downtown Bozeman. So what was it like when it was built in
1890. So it was kind of on the edge of town. So Bozeman's center or its apex was at the crossroads of Main and Bozeman Street, which is about two blocks down. And this was kind of on the outskirts of town. It was on Main Street still. So it was still part of the vibrant area of downtown Bozeman in 1890. But this was this building was built as an agricultural supply business. So it was kind of on the outskirts so people could pull up with their wagons and get hardware and get other things. You know, it wasn't like it wasn't a restaurant. It wasn't a mercantile. It wasn't a building like that.
A boarding house.
So it was more of a, you know, it was more for people to get supplies, hardware, that sort of thing. So it was kind of on the outskirts. And actually the street names were different in those days. It was still Main Street was one of the cross streets, but it wasn't called, the other cross street wasn't called Wilson at that time. It was called Central.
Okay.
And it was later renamed Wilson Street after one of our prominent citizens, Mr. Lester Wilson. So, you know, street names change quite a bit. And I think people don't realize that when they're studying the history of places that, you know, you think, oh, the street name has always been that street name since the very beginning. But street names change all the time.
They do.
Even addresses change all the time. So this address used to be in the 200 block when it was first designated having an address. And now in 1920, they changed all the addresses. They decided that Bozeman had grown large enough where they needed to kind of recenter it. And so they changed, they recentered it about two streets down, and all the addresses changed. Can you imagine how complex that
must have
been?
Very I feel sorry for the mail folks.
I know,
you know, at that time, and thank goodness there was no UPS at that time,
right,
or FedEx. But they have enough trouble now finding us, especially in the annex.
Yeah.
But that's interesting because we're 36 West Main, and I always think of course, us being on Wilson as Main and being in the center of where you might break east and west. But the center is further east of where we are. Yeah. And you're saying that might not have even been the center originally.
Right.
So there's been multiple sort of changes of the addresses.
Yeah.
So this was a place where people would pull up and get hardware or extra cauldron. Yeah. So nothing like what is in there now.
No,
but,
no.
But then maybe that changed a bit with Graf coming out.
Yeah.
And putting the bakery in on the corner. And did that really sort of change or reflect changes of what was in the storefronts?
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. When we do history of a building, we go through the city directories and we really... they're an amazing resource because you can really see what businesses occupied a building over the years.
So it was interesting that this building was a place then where people came up to get their agricultural implements and their hardware and things like that. But when you mentioned Graf and his bakery that went in, I think you said in the 1920s, maybe that reflects a little bit of the changing character of this building at that time, because I know at some point it was also remodeled a bit. So tell us a little bit about from 1890 to 1920, what were the new storefront businesses that were in there around that time? And how do you even find out that information, Crystal?
Yeah, so the way that we find that out is we look at city directories, and city directories are an amazing resource for people doing research because you can go back and you can really see what businesses occupied each place. And here in Bozeman, we have a great resource in the city directories. Like I said before, Bozeman started in 1864. Our city directories don't start till about 1902.
Okay.
So we have a big gap there. But once they start in 1902, we can really track what businesses were in here. But there's also another resource.
Okay.
Which is the Sanborn insurance maps.
And those are fantastic because you're getting an actual plan and you can see what a building looks like. Because I was going to say, with the city directories, is it challenging then when the street numbers change?
It is.
How do you keep track? So maybe the Sanborn insurance maps provide a link.
You have to have like a, you know, cross-reference system. So you can
cross-reference. This is hard work, people.
I know. Yep. This isn't easy. This isn't for the faint of heart. But we cross-reference with Sanborn maps, with city directories, with a lot of other things. But going back to the Sanborn insurance maps, these are fascinating because they're these wonderful maps that, of course, the insurance agencies created, the Sanborn Insurance Agency most specifically, and they would send these Sanborn insurance agent mappers out to towns like Bozeman, every town in the nation, actually. And these men usually would come in and they would map and document what business was in the building, what the building was made out of. Of course, the insurance agency wanted to know if it was brick or if it was wood frame or if it was stone. Mm-hmm. And they would color code everything. And then for us historians, it's really nice because they would put what was in some of those buildings, okay, whether it was a residence or whether it was a, you know, a hardware business or a plumbing store or
sure,
what it was. So we can use those to kind of track some of that too.
That's invaluable resource, really. Yeah. And seeing how maybe buildings changed over time too, in terms of if they were subdivided in some way, that would show up presumably as well.
Right. And that's how we track if buildings changed, if they were added onto, if they were demolished, if they, you know, one building was demolished, another one was built on the location. Mm-hmm. So we can use Sanborn maps for so much. And then using those together with census records, Sanborn maps, city directories, you know, we use all these things to get the most accurate vision of what historic Bozeman looked like. And so that's how we do it. You know, we look at all these different things to kind of get this imaginary landscape in our heads. It wasn't imaginary then, but for us it is now. So,
right, because things have changed.
Yeah.
So what were some of the other businesses that were in here when Eugene Graf built the bakery?
So before Eugene Graf built the bakery, I just want to go back a little bit and talk about some of the businesses that were in here from that we have from the Sanborn map. So in 1904, on the 1904 Sanborn map. Well, in 1890, let me go back even further. In 1891, on the Sanborn map, there was a U.S. land office in one of these storefronts.
Wow. So a government.
Yeah,
office.
And then a harness shops occupied some of the other storefronts. The Chronicle, which was our newspaper.
Oh my goodness! The newspaper was actually in
the one that we're in right now.
Really?
In your store in the MoCA.
I wonder if there's any evidence of that underneath the basement floors. Andrea, we're going to have to go digging in the basement and see what we can find. She's
anything.
Like, no thanks.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't sign up for that. So in 1904, there was a plumbing outfit that was operating out of the storefronts, harnesses still, and then a meat and sausage factory, which
wow.
I think is so interesting.
Okay, right downtown
right downtown.
Making sausage.
Mm,
yuck.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then in 1912, there was a tin shop and a tailor. Okay. Working out of one of the storefronts, hardware, working out of one of the storefronts, a harness shop still, and then meats, that sausage shop. Boy, okay. That's hard to say.
It is very hard to say. I can hear the struggle.
In the struggle.
And a lot of the kind of similar things, though, over that time period.
Yeah.
And then, but still no bakeries, right?
Nope. Then the bakery came in 1914 with Eugene Graff. And so he brought the bakery into one of the storefronts.
Okay. And the one on the corner,
the
right?
One on the very corner. So
great location.
Yeah. And then, he was in that storefront, but as time moves forward, you know, we're in the 19-teens now. There was a pictures and framing store in one of the storefronts. There was a music shop. As time goes on, there was the Modern Cleaners. So that's
wow.
In 1930s. The Modern Cleaners was in one of the storefronts. There was a music store in one of the storefronts in the 1930s. It was called Toner's Music Shop. There was a style shop. And
I mean,
a huge
change from horses
and
hardware and plumbing and meats. To
to
more, now music and
yeah.
I'm assuming some sort of dry cleaning
yeah.
and a bakery, just very different types of
very different, you know. And then there's
retail,
a lot of
yeah.
retail that comes
okay.
in the 1940s, 50s, 60s. A lot of these storefronts have retail shops in them.
Okay.
And there's one store called The Mode, which was in your storefront where
MoCA
is today. And I feel like it was just such a precursor to
it's
to
like
this
we
boutique.
Knew.
I know
the names are so similar.
And I love the name The Mode.
Do you have any, were there any advertisements that you got to see? Do you have any sense of what
you know,
they sold?
I'm sure there are advertisements we could find,
oh,
but
that would
I
be
didn't
fun.
Look for those yet. But
right.
yeah.
We'll have to go
they,
look. The Mode, it just sounds very hip. It was
yeah,
a women's clothing store.
A women's clothing store. So,
okay.
And it was there for a long, long time. It was in this storefront for many, many years. And I think probably if we put something out on Facebook, people would remember it.
All right.
Because
so we got good historical karma here going on here. That's
that people
awesome.
Would remember.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do more research into that.
Yeah.
And dive a little bit deeper into The Mode.
I know.
clothing store.
So I know that there were stores that were here in the 1980s that people even remember.
Yes.
I know people talked about Music Villa, which yeah. is still a store that operates now at the other end, eastern end of Main Street, was in here. Tell me a little bit about that, because they were either in the unit that I'm in or one next to it.
Yeah, Nancy. So like you said, in more recent memory, Music Villa came into this area. Music Villa moved into 34 West Main, which is the storefront right next to yours.
Right.
And Music Villa is still around, and it's
very
been a
successful
very
store.
Successful store.
Buy great here guitars for... there, take music lessons there, just everything.
Right, yeah. right. So in 1982, they moved into this building, and Fred Decker was the owner.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Sounds like a rock star.
I know. And so Fred Decker owned Music Villa while it was in this building, and he had the music store in the storefront next to yours, and then he opened up a rock and roll themed clothing store here in where
right here in
right
Mocha?
Here in Mocha, this storefront.
Okay,
and I remember it, and it was really? Called Fred's Threads. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was
we have
so
to
cool.
We have to find some old ads of there and try to frame them and get them up.
Oh, you should
of Mode and Fred's Threads.
Yeah, and so Fred Decker owned Music Villa for many years, and then he decided it was time to retire, and so he handed it off to his son. Paul Decker,
okay.
Paul and Megan Decker, and they are the current owners today. Oh, wow. So they moved this, they moved Music Villa out of this building in the year 2000, and it's located still on Main Street, but kind of down at the end of East Main here in Bozeman. So it's, and they have expanded it, and it is
it's a big, beautiful
big,
shop.
Beautiful
but
building
it's,
now.
It's interesting because I have heard from people who've been in this town a long time that there used to be people that would gather in the basement and play music. There was a place to actually come in at night and sort of it be like a pickup
kind of
bar where people would be serving and then playing music. But I did hear also then that these funny platforms that are in the store that I thought the previous owner, Camille, who owned The Root, I thought she had put them in for some reason. There's a platform that was in the front by the shoes and in the back by this three-way mirror. She told me recently passing through town that those were here before she took it over.
Oh,
so
wow.
those may have had to do with Fred's Threads and maybe a place to put up some instruments or perform. I don't know. But when we tried to take out a platform, I mean, it was so well built. You could have put a baby elephant on it.
Wow.
It would have been just fine. So I don't know. You could have probably held big, heavy instruments.
We need to do some oral history with Paul Decker because he would probably know.
He would probably know.
Yeah. So, and it would be great to learn more about that.
Yeah.
So
I want to get back just one more time to during that bakery era when Eugene Graff was here. I don't know if you said he owned the whole building or just his part, but that's around the time when there was a remodel. Is that right, of the building?
Right. When this building was built in 1890, it was just a basic brick building.
Okay.
And so then Eugene Graff came in. He opened his bakery here in 1914, and he eventually owned the whole building.
Okay.
And he was doing very well financially, and so he decided in 1928 to do a remodel of this building. And he contracted with a local architect whose name was Fred Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Wilson is a well-known name here in Bozeman. He did a lot of architecture throughout the town, actually throughout the whole state of Montana. And so Graff hired him to do a remodel of this building, and they really changed it quite a bit and changed it to more of a Spanish revival style building.
Yeah.
So it has these beautiful
tiles on the roof. Little terracotta tiles on the roof, which weren't there originally.
No.
And then he changed the windows too, right?
Yes.
Because we had been looking at an old photograph where each upstairs unit would have had two windows. But right now there are these arched, much larger windows, but fewer of them. So I was trying to figure out with you, were these combined? What was it? But we kind of found our answer in the archives at MSU, didn't we?
We did. So we took a trip up to the Special Collections Archives at Montana State University, and they have a lot of the architectural drawings of Fred Wilson. So we went in and we searched those drawings, and it was amazing to see the beautiful drawings that he did of that Spanish colonial revisions and his ideas for that.
And you can see there's somewhere there's like a window and a half, and then he's proposing how to draw it together to make an arch. And so then it would have been around that time that I guess the stucco would have gone on over the brick.
Yeah.
And maybe is that when the tiles went in? Because we have those beautiful sort of butter yellow, green, and a little bit of red, all those tiles that are in front of these storefronts.
Right.
Is that?
And that's kind of the mystery, you know. In 1928, things changed, but we don't know exactly when the stucco and the tiles came on. So that is a mystery still to be solved.
Okay.
And so, but that is, and that's probably also when that Bonton Bakery sign that you talked about at the beginning of the podcast, that's probably when that went on the building as well. And I really want to find out the date for that.
Yeah.
And so we did some research, but we'll have to do more because that date is still unknown at this point. But Graf and Wilson, you know, Eugene Graf and Fred Wilson really formed a bond when they remodeled this building. And from that point on, from 1928 on, whenever Eugene Graf was building a building or remodeling a building or having his house built, he used Fred Wilson. And like I said, Eugene Graf did pretty well financially with the bread business, with the bakery business.
Oh, yeah.
And the other business, he was in a lot of different things, you know, as everyone was. And so he actually built a beautiful house here in Bozeman that was kind of it looks like a French chateau. And it's one of our most precious historic buildings in Bozeman now. It's just gorgeous. And so Fred Wilson designed that for him as well.
That's on the south side on Cleveland, and I lived literally a block and a half away. My kids grew up, we'd walk by it every day when I was taking them either to the Montessori school or to Irving Elementary, and everyone who would come to Bozeman would be so taken with this building and puzzled because it does look like a miniature French chateau. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So that was one of Eugene Graf's homes.
Yes, that was his main home. When he moved from upstairs above this building to that house.
From Spanish Mission Revival to French Chateau estate. I don't know. But so very interesting.
But it probably reminded him
of Europe,
home.
I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, it's very European. And so, of course, he was from Europe. So he was from Germany. So, you know, I really feel like once you start looking into these historic buildings and you start following the people, you start following these relationships that they built, and you better understand the history of the community through these buildings and through the architecture and through the businesses. These relationships are formed and the community is formed within that.
Right. I mean, I tell you, I love being in this building. I love the way it sounds. I love the way it smells. The ceiling height is amazing. And some of the things that we've been doing over the last year, we feel like have been able to expose a little bit more of the way the light comes in, the brick behind. We've been moving some fixtures around and things like that, just to kind of let that historic character come through. And I think it does make our boutique have its own unique feel and a feel that ties it to place, which is, I think, what you want when you're a store owner and you want people to come in and have an experience. And I think we want to take another little short walk down the street because we're going to talk to Babs Noel at Alara. And she's been there. I think all the store owners in this Bon Ton building have been here for about two decades. So I took over from Camille from The Root, which was here for over 20 years. I don't know exactly how long Visions West has been there, but maybe a decade. Plume, the same. And then I think Alara has been there for about 20 years as well. Babs mentioned something about over 17 years ago. Wow. She was trying to deal with some issue with air conditioning and metering and something. So we'll take a quick walk and chat with her.
Yeah. So just to kind of recap what businesses are in here today, kind of thinking historically as well. You know, it started out as hardware and you know, a U.S. land office, and now it's a gallery, and Plume is a bridal store.
It's a beautiful bridal store.
You have a clothing boutique, and then Alara is a jewelry store. So, you know.
Very different. Reflects kind of all those changes in what Bozeman is and who's
and
coming and doing
today.
The shopping.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Okay, so with that, we'll take a short break and we'll do a station break, and then when we come back on again, we'll be talking with Babs.
Okay.
You are listening to The Dirt on the Past with co-hosts Crystal Alegria and Nancy Mahoney on KGVM Bozeman, or wherever you find your podcasts. Today, we're talking about the Bon Ton building in downtown Bozeman, where my boutique, Mocha Boutique, is located, as well as Alara. And today, we want to also thank the podcast sponsors, the Western Heritage Center and Steep Mountain Tea. All right, so we're back, and right now we're inside of Alara with Babs Noel. She's the owner of the jewelry store, which has been in the Bon Ton building for 17 years and counting, and she occupies a beautiful showroom. This is the one on the corner of Wilson and Main that Eugene Graf actually had his bakery in. So right now I'm standing here with Crystal. Say hello, Crystal.
Hi.
And also with Babs. Say hello,
hello.
Babs. Okay. So, Babs, we wanted to ask you, just to start off, what attracted you to this space in particular when you first started out building your jewelry empire in Bozeman?
Well, actually, it was a bit of a surprise because I wasn't intending to go into retail.
Oh, wow.
And I wasn't even in town yet. My husband at the time was literally outside on the sidewalk when he watched the for lease sign go in the front window.
Oh, that's fortuitous.
And so he snapped a picture, sent it to me. The picture he snapped was not of the building. The picture was of the for lease sign with the number. And he goes, you need to start negotiating. And I said, for what? And he goes, oh, it's the most amazing lease space. It's at Ground Zero. It's on the corner of Wilson and Main, kitty corner from the Baxter. And the moment I saw its kind of quirky funkiness, you know, a combination of like Mission Revival and arts and crafts,
yes,
I'm like, I can make this work.
It does. It has an incredible, quirky charm, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. Yeah, it does.
And yours, I think, is a little bit, it has a more open feeling than I feel like I have over at Boca. But yeah, I think you have some extra light coming in on the side, which is nice. Yeah.
But you still have that beautiful tin ceiling, too, just like next door at Mocha. So yeah.
I've been very protective of that.
Good.
When there's discussions of repairs needing done, and the discussion is, should we do it from above or do it from below? I always insist on them doing it from above.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that. Well, you know, we've been thinking about doing a tin roof ceiling walking tour.
Yeah,
and
tin
so,
roof tour.
Yeah, yeah, tin roof tour, you know, of all the historic tin roofs in downtown Bozeman. So
cool.
Yours would be definitely one that should be featured on that walking tour because it's just gorgeous. It's just a beautiful one.
And your brick is beautiful, too. Yeah. I don't know if yours is as crumbly as mine. It's really hard to tack anything into it.
I sealed it. I found out about a really great sealant that doesn't add sheen because most of them, then
yes,
you've got a shiny wall.
Right.
But it does shed. It
okay.
does, you know, you definitely
sure.
feel history showering in on you.
Yeah, I hear it. Every time I try to tap, it's just crunching down.
Exactly.
So, Babs, you have a few historic treasures. I know we've talked about a little bit when I've talked to you about the building before. I often run down here to talk to Babs when I have a question about being an entrepreneur, being a woman entrepreneur, or just being on Main Street and in this building. But you've shared some of these things with me. So show us some of the things that you have, because I know Crystal in particular would be so excited.
Well,
to see
because
them.
The thing about having a built-in tile sign on the side of your lease space that says Bontime Bakery Building is people do remember it. People also come in very cranky with low blood sugar and
right.
are very disappointed to find out.
They want their croissant. Yeah.
But it sticks in everyone's mind. So
yeah.
friends find these treasures and bring them to me.
Oh, wonderful.
So I haven't put this one up yet, but
oh, that's beautiful.
It's an original Bontons Vitamilk bread sign. It says a glass of milk in every loaf. And
wow.
as you can see, it's a little worse for wear, but I do intend to end up hanging it in the space. I just have to figure out how to frame it.
Someone brought
it's
great.
This to you.
Yes.
You don't know how they came across it. It might have
oh, just a friend of mine is definitely one of those picker people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And so and he kind of like sent me a quick snap and said, would you want this for however much it was? I'm
yeah.
like, what the heck?
Yeah.
A gentleman came walking in my store with this original Bontong
oh, wow.
flower bag that I have hanging from the ceiling.
That's beautiful.
He came in with it very carefully rolled up in tissue paper.
Oh,
and he
beautiful.
Said, I'm just going to everyone in your building to see if anyone would want this.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
It's charming. It's pristine. It's never actually had flower in it.
We need to put a photo of these things on the website, but the
yeah.
just to describe it, you have it hanging in plexi
yeah.
in the middle of your shop, which is beautiful up high above, but it looks pure white, and then it's got these beautiful colors,
mm-hmm.
and it's like Montana, almost like Montana. I've never
that
seen
is
that before.
What the, that is what their flower name was.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name of the ground flower, you know, the high protein flower. It was a big deal. Yeah.
yeah.
And then I do have a customer gave me the set of two photos up there that
yeah.
show the building prior to the redo on the exterior that Fred Wilson did.
Okay.
So when it was just a brick mercantile building, you know. And one of the quirks we were talking about is as the Grafs continued to add ovens, which are in the back of wood,
like
they would have been
ovens?
In the back of my
yeah.
space,
so
yes.
Big, like
commercial.
Commercial
okay.
As they would add ovens, the ovens had different purposes, I'm sure. You know, one was for baking this, one for baking that, different types of ovens. I know they exist. Well, they also would be very different dimensions. So they would put the oven in and then put the firewall in. So the firewall at the back of my space is jiggity, jaggity, jiggity, jaggity, jiggity, jaggity. Yeah. It's not a straight firewall, something no one could get away with today, I don't think. It would have to be a straight line.
No, I wonder if that's on the sandboard maps, that sort of jiggity-jaggity edge or something like that. Super strange, too.
And then when, you know, and then this
because they extend it on, so how does that work when you add on a building?
Well, the hair salon that's up Wilson from me, they have a bump out in there. If you go in there, you can see it kind of. They've got weird little nooks and crannies in there that correspond to the weird little nooks and crannies here.
Oh, how funny.
Yep.
What have you done with your nooks and crannies?
So they've gone through several different iterations because some of them are a little too small for some purposes. So for a while, one of our nooks and crannies was our actual shop where we made jewelry. The only reason it worked was our goldsmith at the time is a more diminutive fellow. Like, literally, if it hadn't been him, anyone else would have looked in the space and said, how do I even turn around in here?
Perhaps you're tall. It wouldn't have worked for you, right?
Yeah, it didn't work for me. And so, and now it's our HR is back there.
Right,
yes.
Right.
And, you know, but then there's a little bitty bathroom, a thing we call a kitchen, a thing we call the storage space. I mean, we've just done, that's, you know, it's... it's a challenge.
You've
sometimes
made it work.
I've made it work. Thank goodness I carry very small products. So that it can actually all fit in here. So the biggest changes that I've done that I can really remember in a major way that had to do with old infrastructure is there were what we would kind of, the precursor to can lights in the front windows of the store.
Oh, neat.
But their shape was, you know, we think of a can light today and it's more of a straight up and down cylindrical shape. Whereas these had a very off ellipsoidal, I mean, it was, I'm sure, a thing at the time.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when we were pulling them out because they no longer worked.
They actually
and you could
working.
Hear if you turned the electricity on, there was that crackling sound.
You never want to hear that.
Yeah. So as the electrician was removing this lights, he's like, these belong in the Smithsonian.
Wow.
Because the backup lens to it was glass that they then applied mirroring to, probably, you know, and what covered the wires was a fabric. It's asbestos. It was asbestos woven fabric. They didn't have it. Predated when we put rubber around wires. And you know, I just kept looking at them going, I wonder, I mean, they don't work, but I wonder if this is something that anybody would have interest in or something. And I never did find an interested party, but it was super interesting to see something that when it was put in, I think it was state of the art.
Right.
Interesting.
It definitely was not when I removed it, but it was no longer working.
And
so,
do you have any idea, was it at what point maybe past the bakery, what former owner or shop retail space would have put those in, do you think?
I'm thinking, I honestly don't know how long these platforms, because there was a platform here as well, these platforms in the front windows, you'll see in these older buildings downtown that the platform was a pretty common thing.
Right, we all have them.
But I don't know if they were all necessarily original, but it certainly seemed at some point everyone had these platforms that they used for storage or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know, would one put baked goods in one's bakery window?
I don't know.
With lights?
Like that.
It sounds kind of melty.
There was meat and stuff around here, too, you were talking
about. Well, that was earlier. That was much earlier. There was a sausage shop in here, in this location. And that was, of course, prior to Eugene Graff's bakery. But, it's so interesting to see all the different businesses that have occupied this over the years. And you probably have layers and layers of those in your walls and in your floor. I see some. Different
when I redid the floors, there were four different types of subfloor.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was just a patchwork. It was a patchwork. We had to make it even. This building does tilt.
Yes.
This building does tilt.
Really?
And I will tell you a funny story that has to do with an old building would you have this problem, because there are no legit like engineering buildings for this store.
Right.
So engineering drawings, excuse me, for this building. So I I outgrew my old vault. I needed a bigger vault. So, of course, the first questions you start getting bombarded with by the vault mover is, well, you know, what do you got? You got basement? What do you got? You got dirt? What do you got? And I'm like, okay, all I can tell you is I know I don't have basement beneath my space proper. But what's weird is your space has some basement. And up Wilson. So can you imagine? They dug a basement out, not on the corner where I am, but in the two directions going away from it, which sounds harder. Yeah, but I realized there wasn't excavation equipment. This was done by
all by hand.
Yeah. So maybe it wasn't harder. I don't know. Mm. So I knew I didn't have basement here. Yeah. But I know there's basement that I can't access running under my back hallway. And it was pins and needles bringing this vault in, going across those floorboards in the back hall going,
who knows?
Is it going to, I mean, am I going to end up with a vault in a basement? You know, so, you know, you just kind of hear the creaking and everything held just fine. Oh, but yeah, our floor definitely tilts in different ways, I think, because it must be the earth settling because I don't have a basement.
So. I know, and I wonder if it is, so it never used to, as far as you know, because we have a basement where it looks like people could have driven down a ramp and put things right into the basement and some, and it, so it doesn't look like you had one that was removed when they built those.
Nope. I
never
have
had
no,
it from the beginning.
It doesn't seem that this space proper, other than through a neighboring space, perhaps, and probably more likely, had access direct into the basement. There was never one of those chutes that you can sometimes see downtown in still in the sidewalk. Nope. Nothing like that.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I notice you still have a radiator, which I don't have in my building. So I'm feeling like a lot of various things happened.
Yes.
We had these wall heaters when we were just trying to do our latest little remodel. Yeah, this is fancy, though. Did you put that in?
No. This is quite old. I know the little controller on it. You can tell that's a little more modern, but this is a very old radiator. These pipes that run up against the ceiling, those are carrying hot water to my neighbor and to the apartments upstairs. So the reason I have covered them with insulation is those throw off a tremendous amount of heat
year-round. Boiling in here.
So in the summer, it was contributing to the heat, so I had to, you know, insulate them in some way. But this is our heater. This is how we are heated in the winter.
That's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. We have a completely different system now in our...
So we each of them,
now that it's become condoized, right, they've all gone different ways with the various owners. So this once totally integrated building has become sort of chopped up. But are there any other sort of mysteries that you have about the building that you'd love to have solved or anything we can work on in the future or anything you just hope for the building?
Well, what I would hope for the building, something that I think I told you about, I have a dream.
Yeah.
I have a dream. Of, you know, the original plans that Fred Wilson did for the exterior were far more grand than what ended up getting executed.
Right.
And I would love to see, in addition to ongoing repair, which could be used, I personally would love to implement some of the original ideas that were meant to go on the Wilson face side.
So the long side on Wilson, that would be really fun because right now there's not a whole lot of detail on the exterior at all. So you have some ideas about that.
I do have some ideas that kind of tie into the fact that this is a partially arts and crafts building, partially Mission Revival. So I would love to do some ironwork. I would love to do something like that. Alas, I am not the owner of the building.
Right.
So,
someday. I love that you are thinking about going back to the Fred Wilson design, you know, and I know that you went up to Special Collections at the MSU Library and looked at those architectural drawings of Fred's. And aren't they gorgeous?
I was just blown away. Were you able to find them?
Because
they were misplaced for a long time.
So we went up, Nancy and I went up, and we said, Babs Noel came up a time ago and looked for these, and she said they were misplaced, so they might be misplaced, and somehow we worked through it.
Found them. Remember, they weren't in the computer system.
Yeah.
But then he brought them to us from some other part of the collections. Yeah. Which we were not allowed to access. But then came out these beautiful, you know, table-sized drawings, which were really remarkable. So that was fun. And that's where I finally got to see sort of those changes that were proposed. Mm-hmm. And then some corrections and additions or something that Eugene Graff did. Exactly.
Yeah. I would love to figure out the infrastructure that is the secret of this building. This building is not giving up its secrets regarding water, sewer, and electrical. It's really not.
Isn't that the beauty of historic buildings?
We'll call it that.
It's always a mystery. It remains a mystery to have to solve. And you know, within that is some excitement, but also within that is some, you know, headaches, I'm sure, for you.
It can be, certainly.
Babs, I'm so excited that your former husband all those years ago saw that sign and that you jumped on it and that you're in here. It's been one of the first places I noticed when I first came to Bozeman with my husband. And it's so lovely having this stability and sort of just these beautiful shops right there on Main Street. I think it attracts so many people. And I'm sure you, like me, you love that character and charm about the building.
I do.
But you've done so much with it. And thanks for just being a fantastic neighbor.
Absolutely. Well,
and
welcome to
yes,
you.
Yes.
Breath of fresh air.
We love to be here.
Lovely having you here.
Yeah, and thanks for letting us bust in on you today and ask you a bunch of questions about your building. And we might be doing it again sometime in the future.
Sounds
Who
lovely.
Knows?
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Fabs. All right, so Crystal, that was really fun talking to Babs.
It was.
We're back here in the annex just to finish up and just to round out the podcast today. As a business owner, I can certainly speak to the significance to me to preserving buildings such as this, as the Bon-Ton Building, and what it means to me to be able to offer this kind of atmosphere and ambiance to clients that come in. But can you also speak to the importance of these structures and what importance they hold for the community in general and, you know, the community of Bozeman, people who live here as well as people who visit?
Yeah, so historic buildings, to me, really are a draw to people wanting to live in a community, wanting to visit a downtown. It has a vibrancy because of that history, because of that historical aspect to it. And just growing up here in Bozeman and living with these buildings and seeing them on a daily basis and talking to people over the years, I know that that's why people love Bozeman, is because of its historic downtown. They love the historic feel of the downtown, and these buildings really add to all of that. And of course, that's not just here in Bozeman, that's throughout the country. When you have historic buildings in a downtown area, oftentimes that area is much more economically viable, and people want to go down and spend time in the buildings. They want to buy things that are in those buildings. It's a really important aspect of any economical part of a downtown. So, and that is, you know, just the historic buildings that we were talking about today that are in a downtown area. And that's not even speaking to historical residences, which is a whole nother aspect of living in a historic district is often something people want to do. Having historic districts is so important in a community. But having this history downtown is so important as well. And I love to bring the people into the buildings.
Yeah.
Because I think the people who lived in these buildings, who worked in these buildings, who spent their lives in these buildings, really, who spent so much time taking care of these buildings, that really adds to the story. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like to talk about Eugene Graff being in this building. And, you know, I'd really love to find out who was the owner of the Mode clothing store.
I know more about the families that might have lived up above the stores and all of that. I mean, we know our upstairs residents pretty well right now, all of us who are living here.
Yeah.
But it's been so much fun learning from you about the history of this building that I'm in. It makes me understand and treasure it. It gives me stories to tell other people. Mm-hmm. But just knowing that you're part of this longer history and then knowing that there may have been stores like mine in other decades that were here is such fun. But I'm a fan. I'm a fan, too, of any place I go. If there's a historic restaurant or hotel, something I can stay in. There's something wonderful about being in them, but learning about the people that built them and used them, I think is really so important. So this has been such a fun podcast to do this today.
Yeah.
It's been totally out of our usual norm, and we've had a few challenges with sound and batteries and moving around, but we've been super excited.
Thanks, Steve, for bearing with us on this one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And thanks to all of our listeners out there for joining us today. If you love this podcast, please tell a friend and make sure to subscribe so it shows up in your podcast feed each week. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And we also have a Facebook page called The Dirt on the Past. So make sure you find that and like it too. We put links to all our podcast episodes there, but we also include links to articles, books, images of things that we saw today in the Bontown building, all kinds of things that we discuss in the podcast. So thanks for listening today, and we hope that you can join us again to find out more about
The Dirt on the Past. A big thank you to our editor and sound guru, Steve Durbin. Thanks to Lawson Alegria for the music and to John Chadwell for getting the podcast out there in the world every week. And a big thank you to our sponsors today, Steep Mountain Tea and the Western Heritage Center.